The following program is sponsored by Seasons Financial Group.
Life is the reason to go with Seasons.
Seasons Financial Group.
Welcome to Your Money for All Seasons with Stan Rickner on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. It's time to discuss financial, investment, retirement, estate, and insurance planning, and more with Tulsa's financial experts at Seasons Financial Group, right here in Tulsa. Now, Your Money for All Seasons with Stan Rickner on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
And good Sunday afternoon to you. My name's Russell Mills, and this is Your Money for All Seasons with Stan Rickner, live and local at the KRMG studios in the big city of Tulsa. My advice and discussion of finance, investment, it's all geared towards helping you reach your goals and live your dreams in all the seasons of life. Your hosts are Mr. Steve Ellis and Mr. Stan Rickner. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Russell.
Good afternoon, Russell. How are you? How was your weekend gone so far?
Actually, pretty cool. Hung out with some of the KRMG folks and some of their kin and played guitars and sang until about, midnight, and then got up early and came in.
So you were playing guitar?
I was playing guitar.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Doing most of the singing. Well. I'm not shy.
I was doing guitar this morning.
Is that right? Yeah. Oh, that's right. You play at church, right?
Occasionally. So I played this morning, so it was good.
That's awesome. We need to get together and have a jam session,
exactly.
Brother.
Exactly.
Occasionally plays. The rest of the time he fakes it.
Right? Yeah. If you fake it, that works. You know what? If they recognize the song, I'm like, that's a success.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Russell, today we're going to go back to square one. When we started the show, we talked about what we were going to talk about, and that was retirement. What are you going to do in retirement? Steve and I got our giant brains together and came up with this idea of a book. Actually, it was Steve that came up with the idea. I just nodded and said, okay. But came up with the idea for a book, and it's called Your Living Season. The purpose of this book is twofold. One is to talk to you a little about what it's like going into retirement, what you need to prepare, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. The other part is the psychological part of it, the challenge, is to challenge you to say, I'm not going to go into retirement just to lounge on the sofa, watch TV, you know, just retire from life. No, it's the living season. It's what am I going to do? What am I going to do from here? Because now I got a whole new slate. I don't have to go to work in the morning. Some people have a hard time with that, but I don't have to go to work in the morning. What am I going to do? How am I going to spend the rest of my life? How am I going to spend the next 30 years, if that's what it works out to be? So we had one example, a good example, of a client who retired, and they were in there for me. Steve, you know this story better than I do.
Yeah, they came in, were kind of, they newly retired. They'd been come back in, just kind of see how things were going, how they were adjusting. So we're, you know, talking about that, and then the gentleman said he had to get up, excuse himself, to go to the restroom. And as soon as he left the room, the wife kind of turns to me and says, he needs to go back to work. He's driving me crazy. So she was kind of half joking, but she was half serious too. And the serious part, it was definitely coming out there, because he had been such a, he was an engineer, and he's very structured in his life. And all of a sudden he found himself, you know, they financially had things in place. But, you know, he didn't really take the time to figure out what he was going to do with his time. So he's not used to not having structure. So what he ended up doing was he did go back to work some, but he worked part-time as a consultant for a firm, used his skill sets, and he was a lot happier, and she was a whole lot happier. So that's, sometimes it's kind of like – go ahead and retire, see what it's like, but you may find it may not be what all you think it's going to be.
You might find yourself super bored.
Yeah, he was a
little
bit
of that. And sort of purposeless.
Yeah, and that was part of the issue. Now, he's fully retired now and doing fine, but he was able to, for him, he needed to not go cold turkey.
He needed a transition.
He needed a transition. So he was able to do that for a while, and that put a little extra money in his pocket so they could do some extra things, so that was great. And it kind of kept him out of her hair and her schedule.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things you do on a retirement. Steve's a certified financial planner, CFP, which means there's like, I don't know, 6-7 different areas that you do planning, tax planning, retirement, or investment planning, risk planning, just keep going down the line. One of those is not, what are you going to do in retirement
planning? Yeah, what to do
planning.
Yeah,
what are you going to do planning? How are you going to spend your time? One of my favorite quotes, and I'm very intellectual. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Right. Yeah, Russ, I know you don't see
that.
We
know that.
We have always noticed that on this show.
It's so clear.
Yeah, I'm highly intellectual, and so I like to quote, famous
other
literature and stuff.
Smart people.
And so you know, I'm going to quote Alice in Wonderland, but
somebody wrote that.
That would be Lewis Carroll.
There you go.
Lewis Carroll, okay. Right. But anyway, but, you know, Alice, I'm just going to ad lib it. I like to tell it better, just ad libbing it. But Alice comes to a fork in the road, and there's the Mad Hatter there, and she's confused. Which way do I go? Which way do I go? And the Mad Hatter says, well, where do you want to be? And she says, I don't know. And he says, it doesn't much matter which way you go.
if you
haven't figured out where you want to be. And so going into retirement, really, you have to say, okay, what are my interests? You know, what are the things I want to achieve? You know, I go to Colorado quite frequently because I love Colorado. One, because it's 95 degrees here and it's 58 degrees there where I go. So I like to go to Colorado for that reason. But there's also, between 53 and 58, depending on who you talk to, mountains over 14,000 feet. Mm. Okay. So there's these people who they're called the 14ers, and people go out and that's their objective is to climb these 14ers. So I like to go out there and do that. But there, I met a guy. His name just happened to be Rex. I remember his name because my dog's name is Rex too, but his name was Rex.
It means king.
He was 76 years old. Met him up on top of Mount Yale. 76-year-old, had a walking stick, bouncing across rocks, got to the top. He was coming down. We were going up, and we talked a little bit, and he told us he was 76 years old, his wife down there waiting in the trailer, you know, that type thing. And he said, yeah, I know you guys will probably catch me on the way down. We never saw him again. I mean, this guy was fast. I mean, he made good. For 76 years old, this guy was spry. But the point being is he didn't retire. He still had goals that he wanted to achieve, and his was hitting these 14ers. Now, that is, I don't know if you've ever been over 14,000 feet before.
I have. I grew up in Montana, so I'm kind of used to the mountains and stuff. And Colorado's got some big ones.
Colorado's got some big ones. But they're, you know, people purposely don't live up there because about half the oxygen up there there is down here.
It's,
you know,
thin air. Yeah, you're not used to it.
I was up on one of those peaks with you one time, and I saw this young guy. He was in his 20s, and he's coming down, and he just had a very, not a good look on his face. You could tell he was in anguish, and he just says, I got to get down to the bottom of this hill and find some oxygen. So,
yeah.
So I thought, well, if he's having that trouble, I didn't feel quite as bad then.
But the goal is when you plan for these climbs. You start at the bottom, okay, but you got a plan to get there. You probably have trained a little bit to get there, but you had to plan to get there. You just didn't show up one day.
Hey, there's a mountain. I think I'll go up that.
Exactly, which is honestly what I did to Steve.
That's what he did to me. So I got up about 13,000 feet, and I was going, okay, this is great. I'm above the tree line. I'm looking around. This is awesome. I'm looking, doing the math for the rest of the trip, and I'm going, I'm not quite in shape to get there and get back down because my knees were bothering me, and I thought, well, getting down is going to be harder on my knees than getting up there. So,
which is true.
I'm good. Yeah, that's
the
very
climb
true.
Is hard, but the actual physical impact on your legs and your ankles and your knees going down is
so
harder.
I didn't train for it, but at least, you know, I made a good effort.
So you didn't have a plan, but he did.
Somebody had a plan. He's done several.
Yeah. So I have a plan. But the thing is going into retirement, you got to do the exact same thing. You got to prepare for it. Like Steve said, the gentleman who retired, he wasn't prepared for it. When he hit retirement, it was like he went from work one day to boom, what do I do the next day?
You know, and I remember very early on you guys talking about how, especially for men, but increasingly for women, so much of your self-identity is wrapped up in your career and your job. Hey, what are you? Well, I'm a welder. I'm an attorney. I'm whatever.
You're a radio guy.
So, right. So then you get to that retirement and they say, hey, what are you? And you're like, I don't know.
Well, you know,
I don't
know
what I am.
Men,
what am I?
Or they will say what they used to be.
Exactly. Right. And men are more typical of that.
Right.
And there are women, more and more as women get more prominent in the workforce, and I mean, they break through that glass ceiling and all that kind of stuff, women start to identify the same way. Mm-hmm. But you talk to just your everyday man and woman, man's going to say, what do you do? Well, I'm a retired welder, you know, or I was a welder or something like that. Woman's going to say, I'm grandma, you know, I'm Gigi or I'm Yaya or whatever she goes by. But she identifies for what she's now, and that's her important role to her in her life, where the man is still trying to find out who he is.
Still clinging on to the past.
He is, and it is tough. It is tough. But, you know, you've got to go into retirement with your eyes open, saying, what am I going to do? Are you going to volunteer your time? Are you going to work part-time? You know, I mean, I'm going to work at Starbucks and get my coffee fix, and I'm an early morning person, so 6 to 10, I can get 4 hours in, you know, and get my coffee fixed and get my people fixed. I love people, so it's just something I got to do every day. And then the rest of the day, I can figure out what I'm.
Sounds like a good fit for you, Stan.
It would work.
All right, we're going to take a quick time out. Stan's going to visit the coffee machine, and we're going to tell you that you can text us at 95920 if you got any comments or questions for us today. Or you can give us a call if you like, 918-460-KRMG. That's 460-5764. This is Your Money for All Seasons with Stan Richter on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
Life is the reason to go with seasons. Seasons Financial Group.
Welcome back to Your Money for All Seasons with Stan Richter here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. A reminder, in 9 minutes, your top stories in the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center and that hot forecast. We are under a heat advisory in Tulsa from 1 to 7 p.m. today, so do keep hydrated out there. Next hour, Kim Commando. Remember, if you've got questions for us, you can text us at 95920. Your host for Your Money for All Seasons is Mr. Stan Richter.
Thank you, Russell. And I do thank KRMG because the studio is nicely air-conditioned.
Yes, it is.
So it might
be
hot.
Quite
outside,
comfortable in here. I see Tucker in there going, yeah, baby.
So we might just stay on there all day today.
Air-conditioned comfort.
Yeah, because it's not pleasant out there.
Yeah, and I'm going to a soccer game after this. So
enjoy.
I'm not playing.
This is why I did basketball, okay? Because it was indoor. Okay.
Now, wait, are you refereeing?
No, I gave that up a few years ago.
Because you told us earlier, I remember you said you refereed soccer.
I used to referee. I did a few college games as well, but I know I gave that up a few years ago.
It's too much like working.
Yeah, it got to be too much work. I did it because I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's primarily why I did it. It was just a fun thing to do, but I did give it up. But
and your kids
and I do
really
miss
involved.
It sometimes, but anyway, but now it's the kids' turn. You handle it.
Exactly.
You take care of it. Steve, I got on for Grins the other day, got onto the Social Security website and kind of did a little calculator as to how long I'm going to live.
Okay. Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. And so it really didn't tell me anything I already know. But, you know, if I live to age 67, then I will live another 18 years to age 85. If I make it to age 70, which is when I'm going to start my Social Security because I've got it planned out that way, then I will live another few years, 16 years, to age 86. And that would always tell you that.
Yeah, well, wait a minute.
That's your magic age for your family.
What?
Then wait, I didn't understand the math there. So they said if you make it to 65.
To 67.
To 67.
I'll make it to 85. If I live to 70, I'll make it to 86.
Okay, so okay. 18 years. Okay, makes
right.
sense. All right.
And being male and everything. Yeah, right. I mean, so.
So these are, if you're a statistical.
Right, statistically, yes. The longer you live, the longer you're going to live.
If
that makes sense.
Honestly, that's true. But also, if I was female, it added 2 years onto all that. So,
because
being male has
what's
detriments,
the old
I
joke?
Guess.
Why do men die earlier? Because they want to. That's a very old joke, by the way. I did not make that up.
That was Russell Mills at Garrett.
Forward your emails, too.
But another thing, Steve, is going through some of these calculations is we are living longer. I mean, if for every generation, let's say it's 20 years, okay, then let's look at life expectancy going back to 1900. So in 1900, a male only lived to 46 years old, female to 48. Let's just jump up. Let's go 38 years, okay, to 1938. Male would live 60 to age 62, female to age 65, and then go up to 78. Male 69. Let's call it 70. And a female 77.
Now, I would say that those numbers are a little misleading, and here's why. Because their mortality rates were a lot higher, especially at birth, those type of things. So not as many people. That's why the average ages was lower. So when they say guys only lived to 46 years old, there's a lot of guys that were in their 80s during that time. The problem is there just wasn't very many of them.
Right.
So when you figure out the average age, so even go back to 1700, same thing. I mean, Ben Franklin was in his 80s, and a lot of those guys lived to be 60s and their 70s
I heard today, John McCain, of course, passed away yesterday, 81 years old, yes. I believe. And his mother is still alive.
106.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And she survived her son.
That is just incredible.
That is incredible.
But it just goes to show you, I mean, you're going to live, if you retire at 60, 65, 70, you're going to be retired quite a while.
And a lot of times we have, some people are going to be in retirement longer than when they work. Good example. Take the typical teacher here in Oklahoma. They might start in their early 20s. They can put in 30 years. So in their mid-50s, they would have enough time in the pension system to retire. And so they'd be in their mid-50s, retired, and they could live to be 95. That would be like 40 years. And they've worked 30 years. So they really got to do a lot of planning. So fortunately, they have a pension that helps, Social Security that helps. But usually those two are still not enough. So they, you know, there's other things that they can do to save. And because you got to provide income. That's a long time to provide income for.
That is. That is. And you're right. We've got one client that he retired like 1985 or something. He's like 83 or 84 now. And when he retired, he was making X number of dollars. Well, he saved up his 401k. And when he retired, he had a pension. His wife had a pension. And then that 401k, they really didn't touch it. You know, and they rolled over to an IRA. Didn't really touch
it. Just let it grow for a while.
Let it grow. And his required distribution, what he's mandatory has to
take once he turns 70 and a half.
Once he turns 70 and a half, his required distribution now is much greater than what he ever made working.
Because he did a good job of saving.
He did a good job of saving. Secondly, it has to be, Russell, because inflation over that period of time has just eaten into the purchasing power.
Inflation compounds at an average rate of what, 3%?
Around 3%.
Compounded.
Long term. So depending on, you know, some decades it's lower than that, some decades it's higher than that, but you can go back for the last 70 years, it's averaged around 3%. So, you know, if you spend $100, you know, something costs you $100 today, you know, 15, 20 years from now, that may, you know, cost you $150 to $180, you know, depending on what inflation's doing. So that's, or look at it backwards, you know, what $100, you know, several years in the future may only be worth, you know, half of what it is that day, you know, 20 years in the future. So that's not a, you got to plan for that.
Yeah. And going back to Social Security, you know, Social Security was built way back, what was it, Widows and Orphans Fund or something. It was something along that line.
And it was in the 1930s.
Yes. Yep. And you look at life expectancies then and the way they calculate it.
That was the first thing I thought of was when you said 1938. And I was like, yeah, that's about the time they started Social Security, thinking everybody's going to be dead by the time they're 75. This will work.
Yeah, because we won't have to pay on it very long.
Exactly. But look how long they're paying. Look how long John McCain's mom's drawn this.
But that first recipient, I think she lived almost to be 100. The very first one. I forgot her name, but she got her first little check. I mean, it wasn't a very big check, but she was the first one to, quote-unquote, retire and draw from the system. She lived to be like 100. So they should have learned right then there was going to be a problem.
Should have been a clue that this is going to be trouble.
Well, and Steve, another thing that you used to have, some people still do. You talked about teachers' retirement. They still have a pension system that they can draw on when they retire. Most of us don't. Okay, maybe if you're government or
public employees, going to have a pension.
Typically, public. Occasionally, you know, we've seen a couple of oil companies have a, you know, pension available, but even those are very rare now.
Right. And so if you don't have the pension income coming anymore, like this one client I talked about that's taken more out of required distribution now than he ever made, he still had a pension to fall back on, plus what he then was having to take out. So he had more money than he knew really knew what to do with. That's a good problem to have.
That's a good problem.
Because, you know, Social Security is never going to go broke. It's just going to have to cut benefits. I mean, at some point when Social Security does go down, I read a statistic the other day, it's going to be something like 77%. It's going to be able to fund 77% of the level where it is today.
Yeah, and they just revised the year that they anticipate that happening from 2034 to 2032. Mm-hmm. So it's going down quicker than what they had realized.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of boomers that are, as we should say, hitting the geriatric fan, drawing on their Social Security.
So when we come back, Russell, we're going to jump into what do you do to supplement that and to kind of bridge over no pension and the possibility Social Security benefits could cut.
And could. Chances are really good that that is going to have a direct impact on the vast majority of our listeners, unless you are Mr. Kaiser, and I hope he's listening. His park's getting ready to open. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick time out for the news and weather. A reminder, we are under heat advisory today from 1 to 7 p.m. here in Tulsa. Stay plenty hydrated. Check on the pets and the neighbors. And we will have more of Your Money for All Seasons with Stan Rickner right after the news, live and local on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
Life is the reason to go with
Welcome back to Your Money for All Seasons with Stan Richter here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. We're talking about, well, sort of the fall slash winter of life today. That's the season we're focusing on. Your host for Your Money for All Seasons is Mr. Stan Richter.
That's correct. We're looking at the seasons of life in the winter season. We always, because we're Seasons Financial Group, we like to break things into seasons, right?
Right.
So you have your spring of your life, your summer of your life, the autumn of your life. He doesn't like the word fall because of the stock market, right? Okay. So autumn of your life.
It's just not all a right. good word, just saying.
And the winter of your life. And so really, you know, a lot of the people that we work with all of them. But I would say the majority, Russell, we work with, are in their autumn to fall age groups.
I mean, autumn, you know, to winter.
And you mentioned off the air a minute ago, you're talking about empty nesters. And that's a big factor. You know, people say, okay, I've got more money than I've ever had. What should I do with it? You know, because I'm getting paying more taxes than I've ever had. I'm not paying for college anymore. I'm not paying all that expense that goes along with the failure to launch kids.
They like want to eat every day. It's crazy, that grocery bill.
Yeah, but they want to know, what can I do? I mean, if you listen to some of the callers that we've had on the show in the past, that's been their question. You know, I'm in my 50s and I've got, you know, it's extra money, and what should I do with it? You know. And we talk about maxing out your contributions to 401k, which is the segue straight into that. Pensions are not really that prevalent in the market anymore. They disappear daily. There's firms that, matter of fact, we're dealing with one now where the company spun off a division and set it up as its own company, and they're not going to have a pension anymore. So the pension that they had previously in the other company's got a cash out provision. They can either hold on to it or cash out to it somewhere down the road. Now, people coming in, younger people, don't have that option. No pension option. So what do they got to do? They got to save. And Steve, there are a lot of these companies do a matching.
Right.
And Russell, it seems like a no-brainer.
It does to me. It's free money.
It's free money. But you put, you know, 3% in, they match 3%. Or they might match 6%. Guess what? You're going to put in 6%. We're going to figure out a way to get you to get 6% or to get that matching, because it is free money. There's nothing I can do. Steve's awesome. There's nothing he can do to double your money instantly.
But I tried. It just doesn't work.
That's right.
But, you know, it's nice. These plans, you put a dollar in and the company puts a dollar in. You put in $100, they put in $100. You know, and I've had people where I've gone and set up 401k plans, you know, for companies, and sit there and we go through, you know, get people enrolled and all that into the plan. And some says, well, I don't want to put any money in. Well, I said, well, if you don't put any money in, then the company won't match what you put in. So, you know, if you put in at least $20, they're going to put in $20, and you don't want that $20. Nope, don't want it. Now most people do, but occasionally you run across that.
And what is the logic?
There is no logic, unless they were maybe so tight on their budget because they don't have their household budget in control that every single dime that they're spending, they don't see how they could spend another dime to save for the future.
Right, and
which
if we
is
got
unfortunate.
If we had a caller coming in right now, I would tell you that they're going to say, I don't trust them. I don't trust to give my money to them. I don't want them to have my money. I've heard that before.
Right.
You know, and it's free money. Sometimes it's not dollar for dollar. Sometimes it's 50 cents on the dollar. But you know what? It's still a 50 cent return.
But in a 401k plan, that money's in trust. And so the employer can't touch it. Nobody else can touch it. So, you know, I mean, it's your money. And you don't have to
worry. Governed by the Department of Labor.
Right.
The government.
Don't have to worry about that.
Anyway, so Russell, it's free money. And that if you've got a 401k opportunity, you're young,
especially,
take advantage of it.
But at any age, you should.
Especially the more you can do younger. Of course, I know that's the hardest time to do it because your salaries are lower and you may already have kids or whatever. But if you can just get used to start somewhere and then keep upping it every so often, you know, the amount that you're putting in, and pretty soon you won't miss it. So, you know, there's an old saying that if you'll save 10, give 10, and live on the rest, that would be a good rule of thumb to use, especially for a young person. But I would say even give more, especially when we talked about, you know, save more, because we were talking about Social Security and how that may pull back on benefits at some point in the future. I mean, there's going to be some type of an adjustment. The math says that they're going to have to do that. Now, whether they got the political will to step up and do it ahead of time and get things prepared, that's a whole other story. But we know that at some point, they're going to hit the wall on that, and they're going to have to make a judgment. So for those of you that are young, in your 20s and 30s in particular, I would save as much as you can right now and set that money aside, because you're going to need every dime of it in the future.
And put the pedal to the metal.
Put the pedal to the metal. And be more aggressive in your investing, because it's going to pay off in the long run. That's what the math tells you. Even if you're a conservative person, I was always very timid in my investing when I was younger and first starting out, and that was a mistake. So I learned when I start looking at the numbers, because I am, when I pay attention to that, do my research, I go, well, I'm just being stupid. I need to be very aggressive, and I start being aggressive, and that really paid off.
And you can be stupid on the other side too.
Well, true.
You can be too aggressive and take some too many chances. But so the point is, and some young people have the option to do a Roth IRA, their 401k Roth as well.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of that, because
younger you are,
in the future, it'll be tax-free. So, I mean, if you can save, by the time that, just take an 18-year-old saving $50 a month, by the time they get to 65, that $50 a month can turn into anywhere between $500,000 and $1 million tax-free. So that's huge. Now, you're going to be saving more than that as you grow in your job and as you get older, but because you're going to need to, because $1 million ain't going to cover it 40 years from now.
And so, he sees me smiling because I'm sitting there thinking of all those things on the mutual fund disclosure to say, past results do not guarantee future returns. So
exactly.
All the legal stuff that goes with those. But yes, and the 401k option is gold. It really is. And the younger you can start in it, the better off you are. Some people get a raise, and I always say, put the raise in it.
Yeah.
If you can't afford to put more in right now and you're living on what you got, look at putting your raise in. You
quit raising your cost of living, what you live, and then just put those raises in and chuck that away. I had a lot of clients do that over the years where they get a raise. Even, some of the teachers, they go a while without a raise. But when they did, a lot of them would take the raise, put it into their 403B plan, and because they got used to living on what they're – net check was to begin with, so this was extra money to them, so they just socked it away.
Okay,
they were in good shape.
I'm going to check your memory here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, live radio. Folks, this is live radio.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. But you had a guy come in one time, and he asked you, it wasn't a client, but he was saying, I want to retire, and I want to know when I can retire. You tell me when I can retire. But he literally hadn't saved anything, right?
Yeah, we had talked, and he wanted to get together. He was ready to retire. He was in the school system, an administrator. And we won't mention any names here or what schools or anything like that. But this is many moons ago. And he was all excited about retiring and had me in there. And I said, okay, well, you're going to have your teacher's retirement. And we kind of looked at that. And so he was, in his 50s. So he got his 30 years in. He met all the requirements to get the pension. But obviously Social Security is not going to kick in until he's in his 60s. I said, well, okay, what else have you done? So, because this is only going to cover, your pension's maybe going to cover half of what you've been making. And he's kind of like, what? It's only going to cover half? And I said, yeah, so what else have you done? Because I'm assuming that you would know that. And especially being an administrator. And he's kind of a little shocked, and he just, I haven't done anything. I haven't saved, put any money in the IRAs or 403Bs or any of that stuff. And I went, oh, okay. So why am I here? I don't have a magic wand. I can't make this work for you. I said, now what you can do is you can retire. You're going to make about half, draw your pension, but you need to go to work somewhere else to make up the difference. Now, if you can live on that pension, that's fine. You're in good shape. But my guess is, and he couldn't live, he needed more than that.
Right, exactly.
So he had a little harsh reality slap in the face, if you will, from that. So,
yeah, and people, you hear this all the time, Gosh, if I could do it over again, here's what I would do. Well, unfortunately, when you get to that point where this gentleman was, there's no do-overs. There's no mulligans in life. You don't get the do-overs. So you've got to just plan from where we are today. What do we have to work with? Like Steve said, you might have to go work part-time to make up the difference. You might have to, if you can live on what you got, you might have to scale back your cost of your living and how you live.
Or he could keep working for a while in his current job and not retire. That way his pension would continue to grow. But also, you could take a big chunk of your check, put it away, and at least save some extra money, maybe work another 5 years. You could save quite a bit during that time, especially an administrator's salary.
Right. So no mulligans, no do-overs. You got to plan from where you are today. So if you're 30 years old, guess what? Time's on your side. That's, you know, you can start today and we can do a good job going forward planning for your retirement. If you're 65 and you're retiring tomorrow,
your options are limited.
Yes, we got to make do with what we got and supplement it where we can. And that's just all it is. That's the reality of where your situation. You know, I look out. I've always looked out 10 years. So I look out 10 years from today. Where am I going to be 10 years from today? Tomorrow I'll look out 10 years. Where am I going to be 10 years from tomorrow? I don't do it day by day, but year by year, you know. It's just always keep pushing out 10 years. I had the best manager I ever had years ago, and that's pretty much we did. 5-year, 10-year plans. But we did it for the company, but we also did it for our individual for ourselves. Like, where do you want to be career-wise in 5 years, 10 years? And I now when I hire somebody, I always ask them, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where do you see yourself in 10 years? I say, well, if I hadn't really thought about it, then they're probably not a good planner. You know,
probably not.
Probably not going to really work out well that way. But there's no mulligans. There's no do-overs. You got to start with where you are today. Sometimes it's painful to do. Sometimes you're in a great shape to do it. And if you're in great shape to do it, the next question comes along is, how are you going to spend your time? How are you going to spend your living season going forward? Well, gosh, I like playing golf. Okay, 8 hours a day playing golf, 5 days a week. Still got your weekends.
You are going to get bored with golf.
You're going to burn out on something.
Now, yeah. We've had somebody say that you could only play so much golf. And I know that's hard for the golf fanatics out there to imagine that, but it's true. You know, you get to the point. You know, even the pros don't play all the time. They take breaks. They have to take breaks.
Everybody's got to have a break. I mean, we actually need to take a break right now. How's that for a segue? So you're listening to Your Money for All Seasons with Stan Richter. We're live and local at News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. We'll be back right after this.
Life is the reason to go with seasons.
Welcome back to Your Money for All Seasons with Stan Richter here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. Coming up here in about 9 minutes, your top stories in the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center and your forecast from Fox 23, and it's a hot one. Stick around for that. After the news, the Kim Komando Show. Remember, if you have questions for us today, you can text us at 95920. Your host for Your Money for All Seasons is Mr. Stan Richter.
Thank you, Russell. Steve, just before the break, we were talking about something, but we'll continue to talk about something. Anyway, but we talked about, one, you know, 401ks and that type thing. But the other thing we need to really talk about is when you do retire, you've got what you got. You can supplement the way you want to or whatever, but you've got to balance your life with your finances. In other words, you can't be spending more and burn through your money and then not have much to live on the rest of the time. This is totally off topic, but there was a group that we were talking about. I think they were out of Kansas or something, but they had divided retirees in different groups.
Oh, yeah. They had the go-go group, you know. So there's when you first in retirement, most people are in their go-go years. And then, you know, as time passes, then they kind of get into the slow-go years. And then later on, they, you know, as we get really aged, whatever, and we get to maybe the no-go years.
Right, right, where you just can't travel. You just can't do it. Yeah, and you have – and the slow-go might be taking the bus tours or whatever the case may be, you know. And the go-go years might be taking a backpacking trip somewhere.
Right, that's you climbing the 14ers.
Climbing the 14ers, that's exactly right. But you've got to balance – between those two lifestyles. Jokingly, I used to, back in 2007, if everybody remembers 2007, going into early part of 2007, mid-2007, into the fall of 2007, market was looking good. And I was on my way to having a cabin up in Colorado that had nice hardwood floors and log and all kinds of stuff. Beautiful. March of 2009, I had a smaller cabin
because 2008 happened.
2008, 2009. So I had a smaller cabin with dirt floors. But still, again, that's the mentality of you got to scale back to what you can afford to do. And yes, I mean, it was tough. And we can't afford to go through that again, which is why we manage the money the way we do. We just don't like to go through those times. But the point is, you've got to scale back living to match your income.
Correct. Because we, you know, we see some empty nesters and they get to the point where they don't scale back. Sometimes we see them scale up. And for whatever reason, then that makes us quite a bit nervous. And a lot of times we give them warnings because we'll look at their situation and I go, how are you going to maintain this throughout your retirement years? So most people, we get to the point where they like to scale back, like you said. So they prepare for that time because they don't really need all that anymore. So, I mean, I did, you know, personally, we did the same thing. We, looking ahead, you know, the kids are out. So we said, I don't need this big old house anymore because we had five kids. And it's kind of empty with, you know, when there's not any kids around anymore. It's just the two of us and a little dog. And so we said, well, let's scale down. So we did in preparation for the future. Instead of having a two-story, we went to a one-story because we know at some point we may not want to go up and down those stairs. So, so you know, that's kind of what we did. And, I mean, could I afford the other? No problem. That piece of cake from that standpoint. But that wasn't the point for us. For us, it was more of practicality and let's prepare, you know, do a good job of preparing for the future, get things fixed up the way you want. They're use high quality, you know, products and whatnot in the new house. And we found a house that we, you know, renovated and put some, you know, higher end type things in there that know that would last, you know, that way we wouldn't have to worry about replacing them down the road. You know, they should hopefully last the rest of our lives,
yeah.
That type of thing.
And getting back to that go-go generation too, is that we do encourage people when they are newly retired, what do you got planned? Are you going to take a trip to celebrate your retirement? I asked somebody this the other day and said, no, you know, hadn't really thought of anything. He's retiring next April. Wife retired a few years ago, but he's retiring next April. And said, what are you guys going to do? You're going to go big cruise? You're going to go fly around the world? What are you going to do? I hadn't really thought about it. I don't think he's even thought about what he's going to do in retirement, you know, how he's going to spend it. And that's something, again, where this book that we wrote was to challenge. Think about what you're going to do in the next season of your life, which is your living season.
And we're not saying jam-pack your each, you know, retirement day full of stuff.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, you are? Okay. Yeah. Well, okay, there's the Stan method of retirement, and there's the Steve method. Mine's a little more laid back.
I don't want to see the 71-year-old out there painting graffiti on bridges and stuff. You know, come on, plan your days.
Well, what's wrong? That sounds like fun. Go down by the railroad tracks, all those train cars, you know, you see all
absolutely.
That. Some really pretty
graffiti.
You're
encouraging there. Crime, Steve. Oh, yeah. No. That's actually illegal.
But Steve, if anybody's got questions or comments about what we talked about today, you give us a call at the office, 918-627-3700. Seasons Financial Group, 918-627-3700.
Yeah, we're not there right now, obviously. We're in the studio, but you can call there and leave us a message.
And
we'll get back to you. Yeah, we're at seasonsfinancialgroup.com. And when you go to our website, there's all kinds of information there. But also, if you miss anything on the shows or you can get past shows, we have all the shows are put into a podcast form. There's a link. There's a KRMG banner on our website. Click on that. Take you right to the KRMG site. And it'll show.
And a book link.
And book link. All that's on there.
And let's circle back for a second because we got about a minute, which the show got started kind of through the book.
Yes, it did.
And the book is entitled?
Yeah, Your Living Season, It's Simple Guidelines to Make Retirement the Best Season of Your Life.
And it was written by a couple of pretty smart guys. You may have heard of them, Stan and Steve.
Yeah.
How long ago did you guys write that book?
It's been a
couple of years at least.
Couple of years. Yeah. Almost 2 years, I think. It would be in the fall is when we came out with it.
Yes. So we're coming Steve up wrote on the book. I had to pay him money to put my name on it.
It's pretty much the case.
So. That was it.
But full disclosure, Stan did nothing. I don't believe that.
In reality, Steve wrote all the CFP part, the certified financial planning part of it. I mean, that's pretty much what he did. Mine has always been challenge people. I want you guys to go out and have the best season of your life and enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a fun book, easy read. It'll encourage you. Get you up off the
and tell you some real stories of people who have been successful retirees.
Exactly.
Outstanding. You've been listening to Your Money for All Seasons with Stan Richter. We're right here live and local every Sunday from noon to 1 p.m. Up next, your top stories in the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center and your forecast from Fox 23 and KRMG. A reminder, we are under a heat advisory from the National Weather Service from 1 until 7, so do stay hydrated and check on those pets, won't you? Then stay tuned for Kim Commando after the news. I'm Russell Mills. Have a great Sunday.
Securities offered through Broker Dealer Financial Services Corporation, BDFS, member SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Lexarum Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Lexarum Advisors and Seasons Financial Group are not affiliated with BDFS. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of BDFS. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Neither BDFS nor its representatives offer legal or tax advice. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with the appropriate professional regarding your individual circumstance.